it never happened, never holding a grudge. Want a heart that forgives, lives and lets live. One that keeps loving over and over again. One that men can offend, because your word is thin. One that loves without price, like you, Lord Jesus Christ. Want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. Want a love like you, be like you, just like you did. Want a heart that forgives. Want a heart that forgives when the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, hurt me the most. I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurt. Want a heart that forgets when the pain is so deep. It's so hard to speak about it to anyone, just like your son. I give up my right to hold it against them with hatred inside. Want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemy. Want to love like you, be like you, just like you did. Want to walk like you, talk like, just like you did. Want to be like you, live like you, just like you did. 'Cause a heart that forgives is a heart that will live. Totally free from the pain of the past. And the heart that lets go is the heart that will know so much freedom. Lord, I want to let it go. God, I need to let it go. Lord, it's been holding what to do to get rid of it, but here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need you, I need you. I know this is me that you're talking to. This is me, this is me.
God be the glory. This is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. We thank God for Word Wednesday. We are continuing our series on faith, family, and finances. To God be all the glory. Let us pray before we begin tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to come before your throne of grace, to come, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to hear your word. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for the Spirit of the living God as well. In him we live, we move, we have our being. So, God, we thank you for ordering our steps through your word. Hallelujah. And we thank you that your word will not come back void, but it will be that lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway as we go through this journey called life. Now, Lord, minister to every home, every relationship, every child and every adult in the name of Jesus. We thank you for family. We thank you for unity and love, unconditional agape love for the family. Now, God, we thank you, and I thank you as I share your word tonight that you would get the glory out of this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Even as I said that song, order my steps through your word, dear Lord, lead me, guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order your steps, order our steps through your word. And Pastor Becky and I celebrated 21 years of marriage on last Thursday. And that was the song. A young lady danced at our wedding, and she danced beautifully off of that song. And we played that song, I think, twice during our wedding ceremony. And it was just a wonderful song that we both wanted. Because somehow, 21 years ago, I can't explain it, but we had a desire. We had a desire, the both of us, for God to come and show us how to do this thing called marriage. I believe one of the reasons was because we both had failed marriages. We both were married previously, and those marriages ended in divorce, and we failed that marriage the first time around. But this is our second and final and last marriage, and we thank God that we played that song, and that was one of our prayers for God to intervene, for God to intercede, for God to show us. And I can honestly say, as I look back as a man, knowing my characteristics, knowing how I am outside of God, knowing that I need help still today, I believe that God honors our prayers. And, you know, for those who don't think they need God and want to go through life without him, I just differ from that opinion. And even as we taught the word on Sunday, we have to stay connected to God in our marriages, raising our children. If you have a blended family situation, you're going to need God. You're going to need prayer. You're going to need a great deal of grace and understanding toward one another. Because sometimes you have two or three different households trying to operate as one, and that's not easy ever. To God be the glory. But let's go into some scriptures tonight. Amen. We're going to go to some scriptures tonight. Even as I'm talking, I'm trying to see where I want to begin. And I really want to begin way back here in Exodus chapter number 2. Because we need to understand that God loves the family. And God is a covenant, promise-keeping God. When God gives us a promise or God makes a covenant, he will do his end of the bargain. He will follow through. God is not a man that he shall lie. With Abraham, he swore, and he could not swear by anybody else. And we heard a preacher say it Sunday, so he swore by himself. That's in the book of Hebrews. God swore by himself to Abraham that I will do what I told you I'm going to do. And we know the story in Genesis chapter 12, told Abraham to leave his family. It's not that God was against the family, not that God is trying to divide family, but God wanted Abraham to become the father of all living, and Sarah, the mother of all living. And they had to obey God and separate from their blood family just momentarily, and go to the land of Canaan, the land of promise, and receive the miracle baby of Isaac, because God promised him that he would have his own child. And we know the story. Isaac was born in their old age, at 90 years of age. Sarah was pregnant at 100 years of age. Abraham had a son named Isaac. And Isaac had a son named Jacob and a son named Esau. And we're going to look a little bit at that as we look at Exodus chapter number 2. And I want to talk a little bit more about covenant and promises from God. Exodus 2, verse number 10, and then we're going to get into some more specific family scriptures. But Exodus 2, chapter number, Exodus 2, 10, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Verse number 23, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, he remembered his covenant with Isaac, and he remembered his covenant with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. We see in Exodus chapter 1 and chapter number 2, Joseph ruled and reigned in Egypt with the old Pharaoh. The children of Israel was growing by leaps and bounds in numbers. They were having babies. They were being married. They were multiplying. And that Pharaoh, during the days of Joseph, died. And the people of God were multiplying and increasing in enormous numbers. And the new Pharaoh, who already had them in slavery, decided to turn up the heat and make the bondage even more gruesome, more painful, more tormenting. And the people of God cried out to God. And the Bible says Moses is raised up as a form of a deliverer. And then at the end of chapter number 2, before the burning bush, before God speaks to Moses, before God has a plan of sending Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go, we see the mind of God. We see the heart of God. We see one of the awesome characteristics of God concerning the family. A promise that he did not make to Moses, he did not make to these people who are currently slaves. He made the promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob concerning the family. And because he made a promise to them, he refused to renege on it, and now he is obligated to free them from their slavery, which he did. And that's what God is saying to some of us today. Our families, I can only speak for myself. I came from what they would call a broken home. I came from a single-parent family. My mother, as we would say, raised me and seven of my siblings. My father was not in the home. It was what they would some label as a dysfunctional home. So I didn't have a father figure. We didn't have a male figure in the home up until I was roughly a teenager. I mean, I was a young boy, but my older siblings were older. And then my mother remarried, and we had what is called a stepfather or a stepdad who died in his latter years. But I had a blended family growing up. And in an environment like that, sometimes we learn things that are not so good for the family because we don't know what the Bible says about family. Sometimes we don't know how to act or how to behave or how to conduct ourselves in a godly way that the family can prosper and thrive. And from generation to generation, we can produce fruit. And if you don't know, you can't do it. How can we operate in something we don't know? So one of the beautiful things about the wisdom of God and the word of God It teaches us how to be husbands. Come on, somebody. It shows us how to be fathers. It governs and teaches and guides us in how to be good mothers and wives. As we're going to look at some scripture today, it instructs the children on how they should behave and act toward their parents. Amen. Let's go there right now. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Rebecca opened up the series on talking about faith. I began last week talking about marriage. And as we ended last week, I hope you're continuing to stir up your marriage bed and keeping your marriage on fire, going bowling, roller skating, movies, going out for coffee, always dating, having fun with one another, trying to keep the flames stirred up and the flames burning. Hallelujah. To God be all the glory. We're looking at raising positive kids in the negative world, and hopefully we can talk a little bit about the blended family tonight. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1 says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live a long, and you may live long on the earth. Verse 4 says this: and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath or to be angry, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is vitally important, parents, for us to take our children to church while they're small, while they're young. I and our family, they didn't have a choice in the matter. We took our children to church growing up, and I believe it helped them getting the word of God in them at an early age. From the womb, when my wife was pregnant with our youngest daughter, Kayla, she heard the word of God from inside her mother's stomach. And she loves the word of God to this day. She loves church to this day. And I thank God for that. But it said, bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And children are supposed to respect you, parents. Children are supposed to respect you, mom. I don't know what kind of day we're living in today, but I see it far too often where the children have a say in certain matters that the parent have the rule and authority over. When I was a child, we kind of was told to stay in the child's place. I'm from that generation, and I'm only 53 years old. But I knew my place. I wasn't in adult conversations. When adults were talking, me and my brothers knew to not be up in adult faces. And sometimes, because we get away from doing it the Bible way, sometimes we have disrespect to our parents. I was at work today, and I saw about 4 or 5 boys on bikes. I would say 9 or 10 years of age, just riding the bikes, having fun in the summer. But as they rode, you know, around the street, and they just kind of rode in circles, they were saying so many curse words. They were using so much profanity. They were swearing. I mean, it's like I was almost wondering if they knew the English language. And it broke my heart. Because sometimes in a culture where you sometimes hear curse words and you think cursing and profanity is okay, sometimes children are just doing what they've been taught or what they've seen or what they've heard, whether it's TV, music, or whatever. And we who know the Bible, we who know the Word of God, must offset the culture with the Word of God. We have to put light. And this is how we raise positive kids in a dark world and positive kids who sometimes may be negative. We got to give them the light of the word. We got to give them what the Bible says. You're supposed to honor your mother. You are supposed to honor your father with respect, with listening to what they tell you to do. Not word for word, not talking back, but honoring their authority in the house. Amen, somebody. To God be the glory. And we're living in a day where, with this technology, Pastor Rebecca, what was that show where they talk to people on the internet and the people disguising themselves as something they're not? What's it called?
Catfish.
There's a show called Catfish where some young people go over social media and they meet a stranger and they disclose some private personal information and they confide in somebody through the internet. And in more cases than not, it turns out bad because the person is not who they say they are. And we are in that generation. Parent, I give you permission to investigate what your children are into. Amen, somebody. I give you permission to be nosy, to spy out the land. Come on, somebody. To snoop. I know we're in a generation where they say, this is my room. This is my privacy. I got it. But sometimes, like the Bible says, when I was a child, I acted like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Sometimes our children don't know better. And we have to be that authority. We have to be the God and the conviction until they can get there. I'll never forget my wife. My oldest son had some CDs, and, you know, it was certain music that we just didn't allow. And he was buying these CDs that we just didn't approve of. And we kind of discovered them in his room because, hey, we look. We don't want to be naive. We don't want to be surprised by too much. And this is why, you know, they say this is my room. No, this is my room. This is my mortgage. This is my house. We have rules. We have regulations. We have curfews. Amen, somebody. When you say be in the house by 11, if they're below 18 years of age, if you have rules and regulations, the word says right here, children, obey your parents. If you're telling that child to be in by 12 or to be in by 1 or to be in by 10, they should obey what you're saying. But it says to the fathers, provoke your children not to wrath. And we don't need to go into statistics, but we know that a lot of homes are fatherless. A lot of homes are like the home that I grew up in without a father in the home. And sometimes when that happens, things are out of order, so to speak, because it's hard for that woman, that mother, to be the father and the mother, to be the disciplinary one. My mother tried to discipline 8 children, and that's almost impossible. I never forget, by the time I got old enough to go to the clubs, go to the bars, hang out, she sort of did not stop me. Number one, I believe, is because I was getting A's in school. But number two, I think she was just exhausted, just tired. I was the last child. And she disciplined me when necessary, but I got away with a lot. And I'm glad I didn't get into too much trouble. And this is why the power of a praying parent. The power of a praying mother. One time I did get into trouble, and I was in the back of a police car, ready to be. I was actually being driven downtown north to be booked, and I was into something that I shouldn't have been into with my friend, and these cops picked us up, found drugs on us, was taking us downtown to book us, and I had a praying mother. And somehow, before we got to downtown north, they stopped the police car, let me and my friend out, and said, y'all going to walk back home, which was a long walk. I didn't care. And they told us, don't ever let us catch you out here doing what you were doing just now. And you know that series, Scared Straight? That was my Scared Straight moment. But I had a praying mother. That's why I don't judge young men with a criminal record. I don't judge people with one strike on them. I don't judge people who've gotten into trouble. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Because there go I, but by the grace of God. There go I, but by the grace of God. I don't know your testimony, but maybe you indulged in drugs. Maybe you were somewhere you shouldn't have been. Maybe you were a child of mischief, but God gave you grace until salvation came. So I thank God my mother was praying, and when I shared with her about the incident, she said to me, I knew one of my children was in trouble. I had a praying mother. And I told her later what happened. And, man, that's what she said to me. I knew one of my children were in trouble because she was a praying woman. But let's look a little bit more at children, raising them in a positive manner. Father, don't make your children angry. Be there for that child. Even if you're not in the home, go to the sport games. Go to the school events and the functions. This means so much to children. My wife and I, when our kids were in school, we tried to make the choir concerts. We tried to make, when they had special events, we tried to do all the extracurricular stuff that was important to them. And if we both couldn't go, one or the other went. And it meant so much for all of our children to look out in the audience and to see our faces out there. Can you imagine what that do to their self-esteem? It builds them up that they matter. And this is important. I'm mainly talking to those who have smaller children. But if you have adult children, they're beyond disciplining. Sometimes they just need counsel, advice, and sometimes they need reason. We have to reason with our adult children. I'm watching this show called The Bachelorette, and I'm kind of, you know, I actually like, what you know, the show a little bit. And I see she's down to three bachelors that may marry her in the end. But she took them to her family. And there was this one gentleman who the family, they were like giving him the third degree. They were interrogating this young man. And this is the one I believe she likes the most. And they were simply saying, you know, obviously the physical attraction is there. Obviously, you're infatuated with one another. Obviously, you're digging each other. But we are seeing that marriage is not going to all be peaches and cream. We know that when you get married, it's not going to be all laughs and smiles. So we are saying to this gentleman, what happens when there's a confrontation? What happens when mom and wifey battle or bump heads? So they're looking from an objective point of view where the daughter is just head over heels for this guy. And it was kind of good to see, and I believe she respects her family's opinion. And that's what we do to our adult children. They may run something by you concerning their marriage, concerning a relationship they're in, concerning a career choice, concerning a legal or medical situation. And your job is to simply give them, through your experience and through your godly wisdom, advice, counsel, and guidance. They're grown. They're beyond us telling them what to do. We can just guide them. We can pray for them. And we can just try to show them a more excellent way. So maybe you have children who are adults, and they're not acting right, or toward their spouse, toward their marriage, maybe toward you. You still have to reason. You have to talk. We have to communicate, because they're still our children and we're still the parent. And this scripture doesn't say small children obey your parent. It says children honor your mother and your father. So if you're 80 and they're 60, they're supposed to honor you. If you're 100 and they're 80, they're supposed to honor you. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs, still talking about children. Raising positive kids in a negative world. Because especially our smaller junior high school kids, our high school kids, I tell you, peer pressure is a real thing. You'll be amazed at how, especially with this bullying, the bullying thing was not in my generation. We had maybe one or two or three bullies in the entire school. Now bullying is something that's devastating to a child. They can bully you over the internet. They can get a group of friends and they can bully you. They can bully you by picking on you in the hallways. And, you know, this bullying thing goes a lot deeper than in my generation. So this is why I say snoop, spy, see what your kid is involved in, because we can catch a lot of things before it gets to the point where it can be devastating. You need to be proactive. We need to stay alert. we need to see. If their behavior is acting all strange and they're acting all different, are they indulging in something they shouldn't be indulging in? We need to know this. Are they involved in something they need to not be involved in, especially when they're young? We need to know this. So parents, we have an awesome responsibility from God to be there for our children. But go to Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs chapter number 22. I love the fact that God has given me children. Some of you know my testimony. I had two boys from my previous marriage. Pastor Rebecca and I have a daughter together, Kayla Joyce Simmons. She's now 19 years of age. Pastor Rebecca had a daughter when I met her, Hakita, from a previous relationship. And we have a blended family, which we'll talk about a little later. But I love being a father. I don't take no pats on my back. I had the honor of raising my boys from my previous marriage. That's just the way God saw it fit. That's the way it happened with my ex. And they were raised in our home with my wife, who loved them like her own. We didn't say step this and step that, but we blended and tried to be a normal family just like any other family. And we accomplished that. Amen. To God be the glory. It was not easy. My wife gives a testimony. The first 7 years, it wasn't blending. We were bumping heads. A lot of things were going on, but we got through those rough years. And maybe you're there right now. You've been married a year or two or three. The kids are grown, or maybe you still have some little ones at home. Maybe you have one of the other childs living with you. It can work and it will work. But it takes some of these things that we're teaching tonight, teach them how to honor even the person that's not their biological parent. Amen, somebody. We have to teach them how to honor our spouses. Teach them how to respect even their siblings and their stepbrothers or sisters. We have to teach these things. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Verse 15, people do not go to this verse much anymore today, but it says this: foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. When I was growing up, it was called the whooping. It was called a spanking. When I was growing up, it was called a good old beating. And I don't want to make light of it, because we have diapers and we do have children being abused. And I don't make light of children being abused. There are people who go overboard with disciplining children. There are people who cross the line, and I understand that. And you have diapers now. If your child get hurt and they got to go to the emergency room, you have a caseworker and a social worker right there asking the child, not the parent. They're asking the child what happened. They're going to ask the parent also, but personally and privately, if it's an injury or if there's something going on, at most hospitals nowadays, they're going to ask your child what happened and how did they get this injury. That's the day in which we're living in. So when I say beatings and spankings and disciplining your child, Oprah made this real popular years ago, and she's not a natural mother. You know, she has no children, but she told America it is wrong to beat children. It's wrong to discipline your child because of her experience where she was, you know, not disciplined the right way. But the Bible says right here, you know, tap that diaper. I saw my daughter had me laughing because she I saw a person in the store, and she said, the person said, I should have brought my leash. You know, like a leash you put on a dog. They have this now for little children who run away, who don't want to listen, who may run out in the street or run and get lost in a mall or something like that. So they have what is called a leash that you can put on your child to keep them in distance, and they can't get away from you. And this person told my daughter, I should have brought my leash to keep, you know, my kid close to me. And I was like, wow, you know, I see it a lot. And this is what this scripture is saying right here. Train them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart. And it says foolishness is in a child. It's things in us naturally that are not of God. We want to act out. We want to have tantrums. We want to get our way. And it says right here, discipline that child before it gets out of hand. Do it at an early age before it gets out of hand. It says the rod of correction will drive that foolishness and that folly out of that child. And you don't have to go overboard, but just let them know who is boss. Amen? To God be the glory. Psalm 37. This may be my last thought talking about children and the last scripture because I want to go into the blended family a little bit. Psalm number 37. This is written here by, I believe, David. But Psalm 37 says this. I'm turning to it right now. I pray that you have the word of God in your turning. Psalm 37, verse number 25. The 37th Psalm. Hallelujah. Verse number 25. Is that what I want? Yeah, that's what I want. But no, I'm gonna stick to. Okay, I just love Psalm 37. I'm sorry because it, you know, when we say God, delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. It's the early part of Psalm 37, which is one of my favorite psalms. It talks about resting and committing yourself to God, trusting in God, the early part of that chapter. It talks about don't fret because of evildoers. We think people getting away with stuff and God don't see it. You ever see a sinner or a wicked person or somebody who's not nice? It looks like they're having the greatest time and the greatest life possible. I mean, it looks like everything is working for them. They have a great relationship, and you know they ain't right. They have a lot of money. Look like they don't have any cares, no problems. It look like they have a carefree, problem-free life. And you know they're evil. You know they're wicked. You know they're not a nice person. David says plainly, fret not, don't envy, don't be jealous. Don't pay too much attention to those kind of people. And in that song, he goes on to say, I saw a man spreading his wealth, spreading his power, acting like he owned the world. And then I looked one day, he was gone. He was mistreating people. He was betraying people. He was disrespecting people. He used his power wrongly. And David said, I looked one day, and he just was not. I searched, and he was gone. He said, God will deal with those kind of people. That's not our concern. Back to raising positive kids in a negative world. Psalm 37, even if we get off the line tonight, read the entire Psalm 37. I promise you it will bless you. It's one that I read a lot in my devotional and meditation because it just helps me. But verse number 25 says this. This is David talking. I have been young, and now I am an old man. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. The Bible says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of children. Matter of fact,
I'm gonna share a thought on Psalm 37, but even as I said that scripture, go quickly to Psalm 127. I gotta let the Spirit lead me, people of God. Psalm 127, and we're gonna share a thought on Psalm 37. But listen to what Psalm 127 says. Except the Lord build the house, that can be the house of God or that can be your home. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain that build it. We can't build our homes, we need God. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is in vain you rise up early and you sit up late to eat of the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an inheritance from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. That was not in my notes, but I'm familiar with Psalm 127. I normally use it when it comes to building new creation church, but God led me there tonight as we're talking about family. It said we do it in vain if we try to build our family without God. Amen. And it says he will give you sleep. You don't have to worry about your children. You don't have to stay up at night worrying about them. Give them to God. Pray for them. Give them over to the Lord. It says that the children are a heritage from God. God is the one that gives that woman a womb, gave the man a sperm and a seed, gave the woman a womb to bear fruit. He says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. That's what he's talking about. Humankind, mankind, people. Cannot happen without the male and female. That's why we know our culture is in trouble, but that's a topic for another day. It takes a man and a woman to have a baby. Arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, and children are in the youth. It says children are like a bow and arrow in our hand. We ought to shoot them out into the world. We ought to aim them into the world. We ought to position them as we send them to college, as we send them to high school, as they play sports, as they go to camp, as they get their first job as a teenager, as they raise up in church, as they get involved in youth ministry, as they sing in the choir and are on the praise team, as they preach the gospel. They are like arrows in our hands, being fired out into the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that's an awesome, awesome task for any parent. So raising that child in the fear and admonition of the Lord, knowing that children are a heritage of God, and we need God in our homes. To God be the glory. I'm going to just turn to some scriptures because I'm going to finish this tonight. Go to Job, the book of Job. Right before Psalm, the book of Job. Job chapter number 1. Job was a good father. Job chapter number 1. Verse number 4. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You know, it's something about a male figure and that authority being in the home. I tell you, if you save a man, you save that family. Bishop Hill used to always say that. You save a man, you save that family. You save that family, you may be able to take the neighborhood. It takes one good family in that neighborhood can turn an entire neighborhood around. You make a neighborhood different, you can take the city. And I thank God for saving me. Job chapter number 1, We want to look at this father right here. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. They partied a lot. They drank, they partied, they had a good old time. Verse 5, and it was so when the days of their feasting and partying was over, about that Job sent and sanctified them. He sanctified them, and he rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings unto them, the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned against God and cursed God in their hearts. And Job did this continually. He sanctified his children. He gave burnt offerings for his children. He sacrificed for his children. He prayed for his children. I tell you, we can give them money. We can give them materialistic stuff. We can give them things. But it's nothing like praying for your child. There's nothing like sanctifying them and laying hands on them and putting oil on them. There's nothing like making sacrifices for your children. There's nothing like giving an offering and a seed on behalf of your child. This is all spiritual, what I just noted. And yes, we can give them stuff, but I thank God for those of us who have given our children Jesus. Those of us that have exposed them to our God. Those of us who have shown them the most excellent way, which is Jesus Christ. Let's look at another father, another good father. 1 Kings chapter number 2. Looking at another good father, David, talking to his son Solomon. Another good father here. To God be the glory. Talking about family tonight. 1 Kings chapter number 2, verse number 1. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wheresoever you turn yourself, that the Lord may continue his word he spoke concerning me, saying, if your children take heed in their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. He said, David, tell your son Solomon before you die that if he walk before me right, if he keep my word, everything he do will prosper. I will make his name great. I will bless all the days of his life. Because David, I made a covenant with you that's going to be passed down to your son Solomon. And he charged Solomon with these great things. David was a good father on his deathbed, giving his son instruction. I'm looking at the time. How much time I have, Pastor? 8:19. To God be the glory. There's one more I want to go to very quickly. And that is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 22. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 22. Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all of Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil doings by all the people. No, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall be to him. But if a man sin against the Lord God, who shall defend him? Notwithstanding, hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord was going to kill them. We have a father here trying to tell his sons, you're doing evil. You ain't right as a man of God. You're being with the women in the congregation and it's evil in the sight of God. You're causing God people to transgress. And a lot of people preach this. I think they preach it wrong because they say Eli did not discipline his boys. Eli let them get away with murder and sin, knowing what they were doing. But the scripture right here plainly says he tried to talk to them. I told you when they're adults, we got to communicate. We have to reason. We have to try to talk some sense into them. And Eli did that. But the Bible said they didn't listen to him. And if you keep reading, Hophni and Phinehas, they died at the hand of the Lord because they was not right. But Solomon listened to David, his father. At least he listened for a while. Solomon listened to David, his father. Eli's sons did not listen. My point is this, parent, mom, dad, raising positive kids in a negative world, all we can do is try. Yes, the Bible, the word won't come back void, but once you do your part, let God be God. That's why David said, I've never seen a righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. It says, when they are old, they won't depart. That gives me a clue that they may leave God for a season. They may step away from the church and stop going to church. They may stop reading their Bible for a little while. It don't mean they're an evil person. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just simply means sometimes the devil, who is a deceiver, gets get an edge on our children. And they don't go to church like they used to. They don't read the word like they used to. But it says when they are old, train them up in the way that they should go. When they are old, they will not depart. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. So they may experiment. They may get out there and do something not in the will of God. But the grace and mercy of God is sufficient. Amen. Let's end in this because I want to talk about the blended family, but let's end right here. John 19, verse 26. John chapter 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold your son. Then said he to his disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. That's what the blended family is all about. That disciple was John. Mary was not his biological mother. John was not her biological son. They had a form of a blended family. They began to live together. They began to dwell together. They were not blood related, but Jesus gave them instruction. Blend as a family. And that's what God is saying to the blended family tonight. Pray to me. Ask me for guidance. Pray as husband and wife for your children. Pray for the children to even get along with each other. Pray for your child to respect the other parent that's not the biological parent. Pray for the ex-husband or the ex-wife or the ex a parent to cooperate, to raise the children, what's best for the child. Not hating, not envious, but what's best for the child. Not bringing drama. There's not enough time tonight to get into all of that. But people have issues. And you've got to try and prevent, keep the drama down. My wife and I tried to never argue in front of the children, especially about the children. So if you're a blended family, close the door. Go talk in the car. Don't let the children hear, especially if it involves them, what's on your heart. Try to keep peace in your home. The blended family can and will work. I pray that this was a blessing. I know I was moving rapidly, but I pray that you wrote those scriptures down, that you can refer back to them. Eli tried to talk to his sons. David was a good father. Job was a good father. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, these are all families. Mary was a good mother. All these were good families. And God is concerned about the family, especially the Christian family. He's not ever happy when a Christian marriage breaks up, when a bishop, apostle, a pastor end that marriage and dissolve that marriage. It says, strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And the enemy's coming after the leaders. The enemy's coming after the pastors and the clergy. The enemy's coming after those who are in charge, because he knows the sheep need the shepherd. So we got to keep our guard up, put our whole armor on. Husband, we talked about it last week. Love that wife. Wife, we talked about it last week. Respect and reverence that man. Submit one to another. Raise those kids up in church. Pray for those kids, especially if they're partying, if they have a friend that you know ain't right. But now sometimes we don't know anything and their friends know everything. And we as parents don't know anything anymore. But still, pray for that child. Amen. Because the enemy, he's roaring around. Father, thank you for family. Thank you for faith. And as we continue the series talking about money and finances, continue to bless this series, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for those who find it not robbery to call in to learn and to understand biblical principles that work, biblical principles that are effective. The Bible covers every issue under the sun. Blended families, nuclear families, raising children, making money, how to walk by faith. The Bible is adequate. So, Lord, let your word not come back void, but may it accomplish what you sent it to do. So bless every family listening and those who will listen to the recording. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. Please sow a seed into this ministry. We need your offerings, we need your tithes, we need your money to continue to do the work of the Lord. So we thank you for going to nccmonline.org, hitting the donate button. Go to our website, you can see the information there, how you can sow into this ministry. And I pray that this was a blessing to you tonight. If you're anywhere, I mean anywhere near this New Jersey area, come to New Creation Church on Sunday. You will not be disappointed. There's a word from the Lord in that place. And we are in the year of the boom. Breakthrough, opportunity, open doors, and manifestation. My book is being released on next month, August the 20th. August the 20th, Victory Over Cancer, Winning Every Battle in Life. The book is not just about my victory over cancer. Primarily it is, but we go through a lot of issues that we need victory over. There's a lot of things trying to defeat us, and I pray that this book would be a blessing to you. So purchase your copy. It will be launched on the 20th of August, and I tell you, I believe it's going to be a blessing, not just to the body of Christ, but to those who have been diagnosed with cancer or any other illness.
and those who are struggling in any area of life. God bless you. I love you. You'll hear more about the book launch and the fellowship and the victory service as the day approaches. But just put that in your pine pilot or your calendar. August 20th, 1 p.m. service, 3 p.m. book signing and book launch. But it's going to be an all-day wonderful event. God bless you. Love you. God bless. Good night.